Welcome to Minimalish, a podcast about minimalism, sort of. I'm your host, Desiree, and I strongly believe that minimalism isn't meant to be an identity, a standard to live up to, a set of rules, or anything along those lines, but rather just a tool to help us make room for the things that matter in our lives. And it looks different for everyone. Each week, you'll find me here having conversations about living with less realistically and the things that matter, like motherhood and family, intentional living, mindset, loving our people, and everything in between. More than anything, it's my goal to remind you, and often myself too, that you're worthy of creating a life filled up with what matters to you, and that you're already enough just as you are. I'm so glad you're here, friend. Here's today's episode. Hi, friend. Welcome back to Minimalish. I am so excited this week to be approaching a topic that we really haven't touched on this show yet, and that is the topic of friendship. I'm interviewing Amanda Anderson, who is the author of All My Friends Have Issues. It's a book about, you guessed it, friendship, and it was one that I didn't realize that I needed to read. You know, when you stumble upon a book and you're like, that sounds fun, let me read that. And then you realize it is speaking to things in your life that you didn't even realize were there. That was this book for me. This episode is really empowering when it comes to building friendship and building community in our lives, which I think is something that we all crave and that is nourishing to our souls, to be honest. So if you love this episode, will you share it with a friend or share it on social media and tag me? Let me know that you enjoyed it. And when you do that, I just always am so grateful for you. Thank you so much for partnering with me in helping new women stumble upon the show. Okay, so I wanted to get a little real with you as we dig into this topic of friendship. It's always kind of been a part of my identity to be the nice friend, the friend who listens, the friend who's always there. And now I'm by no means a perfect friend, absolutely not. There are times when I'm selfish, there are times when I forget to text back, there are busy seasons, especially as I've become a mom, but generally, this is just something I care about and I try to do. But it's also an area of life where I've struggled hard because I've been personally scarred in friendships, and this stems back to a long time ago. But I realized as I was reading this book that it's really a part of my story and a part of my struggle. Now, I have a few really great friends that have been in my life for a really long time, and I'm super grateful for them. And I've also made really great friendships along the way and have found myself in some beautiful communities of really caring and loving people. But I'll admit that since being in this season of early motherhood and since we moved back to near our hometown, I personally realized I've been avoiding the idea of friends in the same season, or like mom friends, I guess you could say, because it feels hard to navigate this whole building deep relationships thing while toting around a toddler. And probably I've been avoiding it a little bit because I've got some friend baggage, if we're being honest. And I think kind of the insecurities that motherhood can bring has kind of just deepened the fears that I feel about friendship and making new friends. So I wanted to say that and get really honest about that, because every time I feel hesitant to get honest about something on here, I remind myself that I refuse to believe that I'm alone in my struggles, and my goal is to make sure that you know that you're not alone either. So there that was. I just had to tell you that, because if you're approaching this conversation on friendship with hesitancy, just know you're not alone. It can be really hard to put ourselves out there and be vulnerable to build new deep friendships and hope people will accept the good and the bad parts of us. If this topic kind of makes you feel like, do I really want to listen to this one? Do I really care about this? You should. You really should. And I know not everyone struggles in that way. I know that you might already have really deep friendships, and this conversation is going to speak to you as well. Okay, so let's talk about Amanda, my guest today. She's a speaker and an author. She lives in Southern California with her husband and her daughters. She often speaks in women's ministries, conferences, mothers groups, and 12-step recovery programs throughout the country. Her messages focus on discovering freedom through authentic relationships, releasing perfectionism, and seeking self-awareness. She personally overcame a decade-long struggle with anxiety and depression, and she worked a 12-step program for relationships herself. And so now she blends psychological research, personal experience, and biblical truth to create topics that are challenging, often hilarious, and culturally relevant. In our conversation, Amanda gives so many helpful and practical ways for us to simplify making friends as adults and as moms, and also diving deeper in truly building authentic friendships. We also talk about boundaries and dealing with toxic friendships. We even touch on the difference between introverts and extroverts in friendships. And Amanda leaves us at the very end of the interview with a pretty heavy question to think on about race and friendships. So we're covering a lot of bases here, but I think we go wide and deep on the topic all at once. And I'm just so excited for you to get to hear from her and for you to get to hear this conversation on friendship. So without further ado, let's dive in. Hi, Amanda. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm so excited to chat with you today about the topic of friendship.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So before we get started, I would love to hear a little bit about who you are and what you do. So tell our listeners about that. You know, just let us know a little bit about your story.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm a mother of two daughters. I have a 12 and a 15-year-old, and I've been married to my high school sweetheart for 20 years. We just celebrated this summer. I was a journalist straight out of college. I worked for a local lifestyle magazine. So I did travel writing and feature stories and things like that. But I gave up that job when my oldest was 2 years old to stay home with her, which was a huge change, obviously.
Yeah.
And spent many years volunteering in a Mothers of Preschoolers group. And that kind of gave me some identity. I got to use my leadership skills and things like that. Started a blog, kept writing because I just had to. So I wrote a lot about mothering, and I had a blog called Scraps of Soul. So I wrote a lot about scrapping my stuff and trying to find intentionality and all my sort of misadventures with my daughter. And then I started speaking to young mothers groups. And so now I teach about 24 moms groups a year in Southern California where I live. And I teach women's retreats and conferences. And then I just published my first book. It just came out in July. It's called All My Friends Have Issues. And that's been a really fun experience. A lot of what I wrote about, I learned from talking to hundreds of moms that I've spoken to over the last 7 years.
That's awesome. And first of all, congrats on 20 years of marriage. That's amazing.
Thank you.
And also, I think it's really cool that you kind of have gained all these experiences from, you know, the Mothers of Preschoolers, MOPS. I know that, you know, those groups are for moms that are really in the trenches of toddlerhood. So it's really cool to just hear that as a mom of a toddler right now, just like that these stories that you're telling in the book and everything that you've learned about friendship, and that you're now like serving women through these stories and through what you've learned kind of came from that experience. So I am excited to chat with you on that. And today, what we're going to focus on is I want to ask you some questions on just like, how can we really simplify the process of finding authentic friendships as moms? Because I think I've found that it's hard to make friends as adults. Has that been like your experience? Is that what this came out of for you?
It really did. I think everyone struggles with that to a degree. And as moms, we really do, because we become aware of our loneliness when we're home with children, or even if you're a working mother working out of the house and have children. Everything in your life is in such a transition when you become a parent that, you know, you just need people who are connecting. But it was difficult for me. I really struggled with loneliness, and MOPS really helped me. But I also needed someone to help me navigate, like, what does a healthy friendship look like? And I kept thinking, why doesn't anyone come and teach us that? And then about 5 years later, God's like, I would like you to do that. Yeah. Okay. So, and some of those things I learned through failure, like either making friends with people who really weren't available emotionally, or being, you know, my own kind of breakups with friendships, things that didn't go well. I learned as much from that as from having some really great decade-long friendship.
Yeah. I want to take a minute to thank one of today's sponsors, PrepDish. PrepDish is a meal planning service that sends you an email with a meal plan, grocery list, and prep ahead instructions every single week so that all of your meals are planned out and completely ready for the week. You can even choose from gluten-free, paleo, and keto options. It makes eating healthy so much easier, and the meals are also delicious, and they're even toddler-approved in my house. There's no guesswork when it comes to actual mealtime each day, which for a mom is basically a lifesaver. Not only does it make meal planning easier, you literally no longer even have to think about it. This is such a time saver for the busy mom, and with holidays coming up, it's nice to have one less thing to think about. I've personally been loving using PrepDish for months now because it's taken meal planning off my plate and given me more time for the things I enjoy doing, which meal planning just honestly isn't one of them. The best part, Allison, the founder, is offering listeners of Minimalish a 2-week free trial, so you've got nothing to lose. That's 2 weeks of meals planned out for you, grocery list and prep included for free. So head to prepdish.com/minimalish to try it out. That's prepdish.com/minimalish to try it out. All right, let's get back to the show.
Well, I want to ask you, why is this important? So, because I feel like I have good friends that I've had for a really long time, but I honestly have struggled to find friends that are in the same season as me and mom friends. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, because I've struggled with this, I have told myself like, it's okay. Maybe I don't need that. Like maybe that's not for me. Mm. It's okay. So I would love to hear from you. And I, even through reading the book, I've already kind of overcome that mindset, but I'd love to hear your why do you think it's important?
Well, first of all, because we have needs like human beings do, and it includes that we need time with adults. Being a mother saps a lot from you, so we need adults to give back to us. Mm. And that's the answer that everybody knows. But what I try to focus on in the book and what I've discovered for myself is that friendship is one of the primary tools to spiritual and emotional growth in my life. And if I don't have other adults to do life with, then I'm not going to grow. And so my friendships have helped me heal a lot of emotional things. They've helped me have perspective about myself. They've made me a better mother. Our children are not meant to be our friends. Mm. And they aren't meant to meet our emotional needs. We're supposed to meet theirs. And I don't care who you are or how functional of a childhood that you had. When you have kids, things come out in you that you didn't know was still broken. That's been my experience and what I've found with so many other moms that I talk to. So having friends to process those realities with is just incredibly powerful. And it takes the pressure off our children as they grow to not have to be our peers. Mm. So that's the deep emotional reason. Like this is serious business being an adult, and we need adults to help us adults. Children can't help us adults.
Yeah, that's so good. And that's such an important perspective that I think really gets lost in our culture because, you know, mm-hmm. There is that image out there that, you know, we are supposed to be our child's best friend. And then if we try to let them feel that, then yeah, it can feel like, oh, okay, then I have friendship in my children, but it's a totally different level to have friendship outside of that. So thank you for
right.
that. Okay. So let's talk about like actually making it happen, because I know that's the hard part. You know, it takes getting over that belief of like, maybe this isn't important first, but then how do we simplify the process of finding like real authentic friendships? Because like we both kind of agreed, it is kind of hard to do. It's hard to do in this season of life. So as moms, how do we simplify that? Since this podcast is all about simplifying.
First, I want to say why I think it's difficult and why simplification is important. Part of why it's difficult is because I'm going to speak specifically to the mothers of toddlers and infants that are trying to figure it out. There's this complex thing that's happening that you're figuring out what your values are and what kind of a parent you want to be. And so being around other people who are doing it differently can be challenging. You have this option of what if our kids don't get along, right? Like, I've had great friendships and then our toddlers start hitting each other. That's a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. So it's complicated, and we have to kind of let go of perfectionism when we're making friends. The idea that one friend is going to meet all of our needs. is something that we have to let go of before we start this process. Like, it would be easier. It's what I wanted. I wanted like a wife. I wanted one friend that could do all the things, meet the emotional needs. Our kids got along great. Our husbands became best friends. That was like my perfect picture. And so first of all, just kind of letting go of the idea that I'm going to find one person. And then the second thing to let go of is I'm going to find a tribe. Like that's our big thing in our culture. I need my tribe. I need my tribe. Well, not all my friends are friends with each other. So I kind of go with, and this is the simplification part. I go with the bridesmaid approach. Mm-hmm. I want bridesmaids rather than a tribe. So there's like a group of people that are going to be my friends, and I'm going to build one good friendship at a time as an individual and be okay with we're not all together. Like when you join a MOPS group, it'd be great. Or a small group Bible study, it'd be awesome if everyone at the table became great friends and you all did life together. But that's very challenging. So kind of letting go of those expectations is one of the first things that I recommend to young moms. But the simplest, so then the next step would be just like anything you're doing, any goal setting that you're doing, is to know what it is that you really want. I really recommend actually making a list. What do I really want out of a friend? What am I most craving in my life? Do I need a walking partner, someone to help me get out of the house? Am I looking for someone who wants to go shopping with me? Do I love to go to the movies and I don't have anybody to go to the movies with anymore? Do I love to read? Maybe a book club's the right choice for me. So if you start thinking about what are the things that I'm really longing for, then we can become intentional inviters. So if what you really need, what you really crave is to have someone to push the stroller around your neighborhood, then you can ask people for that specific thing. That's a great way to make a friend. Hey, do you want to walk once a week? Could we get together on Tuesday mornings to take a walk? Because then you're giving someone a concrete way to be invited and be part of your life, and they can give you an honest yes or no, and it takes sort of the guesswork out of if this relationship's going to work out.
Yeah, I love that. That's such a good way of looking at it. And I just love the idea that, yeah, we do... I can see that in myself when I'm thinking of like making new friends. One, I think how it's so hard to get to that deeper level of friendship, which maybe that's a question I'll ask you too. But two, I think
more information too. Well, yeah, break it down. We start with the basic level. It's very much like being a little girl who goes over and says, can Nancy come out and play? Many people are lonely and very few people are offended by being invited into something. Mm. It feels good to be chosen. So to be someone who actually just simply says, hey, would you like to come to my book club? Or would you like to meet at Target and do some of our Target errands together? You know, one of my favorite things is to push a cart around Target with a friend and get our shopping done with the kid in the cart. And talk to each other, maybe get a coffee and get something done at the same time, you know, truly doing life together. And I talk about in the book, you learn a lot from people by shopping together, exercising together, learning a skill together. It just reveals character in a way that just talking on the phone doesn't, or connecting on social media doesn't. So invite someone to run errands with you. I spent a lot of time just doing dilly, you know, let's meet for coffee and then walk through the grocery store with my friends at that stage.
Yeah, absolutely. That makes a lot of sense. And I think that's something that, especially at the toddler age or having, you know, even having multiple kids at different ages, just young children, like that's something that I know I personally crave, is to just not be alone in those times when it can be high stress. You got a kid crawling out of the car and to know that you are not alone in that one, and two, that you are seen and maybe have some helping hands, or you can be the helping hands as well.
So totally. Like you take turns. I'll hold the baby. You go to the bathroom, you know, exactly. Just really help each other out that way. One great idea is say you've got kids in preschool and you like the look of a mom in the line, you know, ask her, hey, so many of us, we make the mistake, and I get it. I do it. Where I've got 3 hours where my child is in preschool. I better go run all my errands. The reality is you could take your kids running errands, but you probably can't have an uninterrupted hour-long conversation. So what if you started inviting the mom at preschool, hey, after we drop off, do you want to do an hour coffee date before we run our errands? And just make a priority of getting a little alone time with people too.
Yeah.
Connect with the people that are already on your schedule. You know, that's one of the things that's hard too, right? It's like, I'm a Tuesday, Thursday preschool kid and my friend is a Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We can't seem to connect. Try to connect with the people that are already on your own schedule and see what happens.
Yeah.
It simplifies it.
I'm taking a quick break to tell you about one of our sponsors today, Bombas. Did you know that socks are the number one requested clothing item in homeless shelters? I didn't know this, but when I learned about Bombas and their mission, I was absolutely on board. Bombas is on a mission to change this. They've created the most comfortable sock, basically in the history of feet, and for every pair purchased, Bombas donates a pair to someone in need. They've donated over 20 million pairs and counting to homeless shelters, which I think we can agree is amazing. They've designed their socks with special comfort innovations like arch support, a seamless toe, and a cushioned footbed. Plus, with the upcoming holiday season, socks are always a great gift because pretty much everyone wears them. And with tons of colors, patterns, lengths, and styles, they've got something for everyone on your list. My new favorites are their merino wool socks. They're designed to be breathable, dry, and never itchy with just the right amount of thickness. I seriously have been wearing mine every day as the weather has turned a bit colder, and they are the most comfortable sock I've ever put on my feet, and I love the neutral color options that they have to match with everything that I'm wearing because, yes, I'm that person that cares that my socks match even when I'm just lounging at home, and their design is really cute. They do have more printed pairs, and then they have neutral pairs or solid color pairs, and I just love that variety. Plus, the way they fit is absolutely perfect. Save 20% on your first purchase when you shop at bombas.com/minimalish. That's bombas.com/minimalish to save 20%. bombas.com/minimalish. All right, now back to my conversation with Amanda.
Okay, so what happens at the other end of the spectrum? Because, you know, we talked about like, how do we find these authentic friendships and, you know, why is that hard? But what happens when we are maybe experiencing unhealthy friendships? Because I know that there are women listening who need this conversation and who need maybe a way to build boundaries, you know, when they're experiencing a friendship that's not healthy anymore.
So one of the things that I teach is I teach on the book Boundaries by Claudine Townsend, which was written 25 years ago. And I teach young moms this. And here's the best metaphor for boundaries. It's caller ID. So it's really hard to speak to what do we do with unhealthy friendships because there's so many ways to define that. But I was thinking about this and give one example. So caller ID, you can look at your phone and you can decide when you're going to answer it. That's a basic boundary. You can decide if you're going to answer the phone and if you're going to text someone back, right? Mm-hmm. We can tell people's health by how they react to us being unavailable. If you have friends that can't stand you being unavailable, it's a sign of an unhealthy friendship. No needs to be an acceptable thing in a friendship, and being unavailable off the grid for a day or two should be okay. I was a friend who didn't accept no very well earlier in my mothering. If you weren't available to me, I'd kind of panic. Don't you like me? Don't you like me? But one way I want to address one specific thing, say a friend that is dangerous to your life and your mental health is a friend that is really negative. So we all need to call and vent sometimes, right? We need people to just listen when we're going through something. But we've all had the friend that wants to call and complain, which is different than venting, and has the kind of the same problems over and over again, and they never improve. And you find yourself listening for a long time and hanging up and just feeling really drained by the conversation. Can you relate to that?
Yeah, for sure.
It can be a family member too, but it can also be a friend. And so the first thing about some ways to look at boundaries in a situation like that would first be to use your caller ID as a boundary, answer less often or respond less quickly sometimes to be able to guard your heart so that you don't have to have negative conversations when you're not in the place to do it. The second thing is to try subject changing when you get stuck with people who are in a negative pattern, to be able to just set a boundary and say, you know what? Let's talk about something else. Tell me something good that happened this week. Mm-hmm. Change the subject. But in the long run, what we need to do is actually have healthy confrontations and say, you know, I'm always happy to hear you and care about you, but I also want us to be able to have some positive conversations. So do you want some feedback? Can we problem solve some of these issues? And if they're not open to problem solving, then you need to cut off those conversations. Like, I need to get off the phone. Just literally get away from negativity. Say, I can't be there. Because healthy relationships, and you talk a lot about this in the book, the friendships that are worth keeping close to us are people who are open to feedback and accountability. So if I have a problem that I'm stuck on for a long time, my girlfriends are supposed to call me out on it and say, you know what? You're really stuck on this. Can I offer some suggestions? Do you think you need to call your therapist? Is there something we can do about this? Because it's becoming something that we're not moving past. And I need that feedback in my life. That's one of the things that adult friendships can do that our children can't do for us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. And I think too, I mean, it's like that simple concept that maybe our parents used to tell us that like you become the people that you surround yourself with. And we don't want, you know, that negativity to be something that we become. And I know that I can easily fall into a very negative mindset if I surround myself with people that have the same, you know, that same pattern of thinking.
So that's right. Really, and I can good. Also be in a negative mindset if I don't have someone to check me.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where, you know, sometimes we go through a season where we're processing something really deep and then we need someone to go, you know what? Let's focus on some gratitude. Let's get my best friend and I are actually in a stage right now. I said, I need to give you a gratitude list every day. Can I call you with my gratitude list? Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, let's do that. Because I can get stuck. I work from home. And so I can be really isolated and get stuck in my own head. So I need to reach out to people and say something positive. Mm-hmm. But that's the number one thing that I hear when I go to MOPS groups is, you know, my friend is always in trouble. I have a friend who's always having a major problem. And sometimes it's recognizing that everyone has problems, but sometimes a friend is the common denominator in our own drama. And some people gravitate toward drama and chaos, and they don't like to change behaviors that will make that better. And one of my mentors says that what they want to do is call and hand you their fiery bag of poop, and they want you to hold it and carry it, but they don't want to solve it. And so it's actually really loving to set a limit on that and say, you know what, I don't want to hold this anymore. Let's see if you want to talk to a professional counselor.
Yeah.
And a really healthy person will react to that. She might feel defensive initially, but she will recognize, oh gosh, you know, I've really become in a negative space. I do need to move out of this. And as young mamas, you do not have the bandwidth to carry too much of other people's negative energy. It will bring you down.
Mm, that's so good. That's so true.
Kids whine a lot. They have to. Developmentally, it's appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. Can only take so much of that.
Right.
Exactly. So good. So we've talked about a lot of things that you talk about in your book, and I'd love to know, you know, talk to me a little bit about your book and about what topics you approach in that book for the mom who's kind of like maybe inspired by this conversation and wants some next steps. So I think one of their first steps could be buy your book. That's a great first step. So tell me about your book, I guess.
I would love that.
But then if you also want to give like a couple of takeaways that's like next steps to finding, you know, friends to do life with, that would be great.
Well, I start with something really simple, just an intentional step. And it's just like making friendships, or if you're struggling with loneliness or just disconnection, make a plan, just like you would if you're going to be working out. You know, you wanted to get healthy, you're going to say Monday, Wednesday, Friday, go to the gym. So simple next step is to be intentional and make a plan. Write down for yourself, once a day, I'm going to send a text or an email. I'm old, so I still do email sometimes. I'm going to send a text or an email to someone that I want to build a relationship with. Just send something once a day to someone that says, hey, I'm thinking of you, or how did your doctor's appointment go, or how's Johnny's broken arm, or whatever. So once a day, send a text message to somebody. Don't sit in isolation. Twice a week, make a phone call. Mm-hmm. Make the time to actually have a 20-minute phone call with someone that you care about. really just call, offer to listen, and then share something going on in your life. I know this sounds really basic, but the whole week can go by without connecting. And don't do it from your car. Do it from your house. Do it where you can really focus. Not only is it safer, you won't hit parked cars and get off on the wrong exit on the freeway, but you'll be more focused with people when you're not just talking, you know, while you're driving. I live in California, so I'm on the road all the time.
Yeah.
And I am working on not talking on the phone while I drive. And then once a week, make a play date. And then personal thing is to once a week, ask someone to do something with you. Take a walk, grab a coffee, meet at the park, even just for an hour. Just once a week, reach out to someone and invite them. And hopefully that will turn into a rhythm where someone invites you back. So that's my first practical tip. Do those resonate for you?
Yeah, for sure. And I am personally an introvert. So like the idea, I care about people so much and I love connect. Like I, you know, I look back on the times in life, which I'm sure, you know, anyone who have experienced these times in life can relate, of just like college, where I had these deep friendships that were just built into my life because I lived with, you know, other women, and, or just, you know, even thinking back on years before that, where it's like friendship was what you do for, like, you don't have a husband or a spouse, and you don't have, you know, you don't have other little ones to be responsible for.
Right.
So it was like friendships. And I look back and I think, oh, I was so filled up by those friendships, even though I was with people a lot and I still needed alone time to recharge. Yeah. But it's like, I just wanted to speak to that for like any introverts listening, because I know being an introvert and being a mom, a lot of your energy is already taken. But I also know that, you know, I might be tired after a, you know, after being with a good friend, but at the same time, those one-on-one real adult conversations they fill me up, even though it's tiring, you know? So I just, that can be really challenging to think like, oh my goodness, I think thinking about it is harder than actually doing it. Like doing it is so fulfilling. Thinking about it is hard. So that challenges me, that idea of actually making a play date, for sure.
Yeah, or actually just reaching out. I'm married to an introvert, and I'd have to be because two of me would not fit in one house, and I'm raising an introvert. And I understand now that introverts love people as much as extroverts. They just need to recharge alone. You have just as much of a need for connection. It's just a different type of connection. And one thing I will say to the introverts out there is that the extroverts, we like you, but if you don't ever call us back, we think you don't like us. So we're uncomfortable with you not returning our calls because if we don't return your call, we don't like you. So it's something for us, help and understand. Three of my best friends are introverted. I have probably six, I would say, really close friends, and each one of those has me and one other person. So we all have different friendship needs. Most of our culture offers us connection, especially in church culture, offers us to connect in large groups of people, which is challenging for introverts. Come to a MOPS group where there's 50 people in the room and you're going to talk with the table of 10. That's why it's really important to intentionally reach out to people one-on-one so you can get your needs met in a way that you're feeling healthy about it. You're drawn to someone at your table, ask her out. Ask her to meet you for coffee, because you will probably enjoy spending time with her on your own more than that big group of people. And that's okay. People like to be singled out and invited to things. It is like working out. It's like you don't really want to go, but you feel better afterwards.
Yep, exactly. That's so good.
So you have to push yourself.
Yeah.
Just one thing. The book is structured in three parts. That I think are the three cores to friendship that can really be life-changing and emotionally sustaining. And they are authenticity, so really being known for who you really are, for letting people know who you are, what you like, what you don't like, and why. Getting to the bottom of those things. Mm-hmm. In the book, I really focus on self-awareness. To have good friendships, we have to know ourselves well, because you can't share yourself authentically if you're not aware of why you do the things that you do. So my book has kind of, I would say, like a psychological focus, in that if I don't know why things hurt my feelings, or I don't know why I feel triggered, say, for the example, I had to learn to recognize that my introverted friends aren't going to call me as often because it's an obstacle for them. It's not part of their personality. So right. Understanding that and having the self-awareness to know that I could call people all day long, but not everybody else functions that way, has made my friendships healthier. It's allowed me to share myself more authentically because I understand my motivation. So the first part of the book is a lot about that. It's really getting to know ourselves and what we really need from friendships so that we can ask for what we need in friendships. And then the second part's around encouragement and accountability. And encouragement, we all need it. It's just, you know, having someone cheer you on to be the best version of yourself and also sit with you when you're sad. We all need people that will just be with us when we're struggling, not just come in as a cheerleader and try to make everything better. So that's a big focus, is creating friendships with people who will stay when you're having a hard time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, we talk about accountability, which I grew up in church, and that was kind of a very legalistic word. It was like the people who were going to call you out every time they saw you like sinning or not spending enough time in your quiet time or something.
Yeah.
But I see accountability as some of those things, but more often in my relationships, my friendships are the people that hold me accountable to being what I've said is my goal, what I'm looking to be. So like, for example, you know, your thing is minimalism and letting things go. Well, that's probably because at some point in your life, you were overwhelmed by too much stuff and too much activity, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your friends would offer you the accountability of going, "Hey, sweetie, what'd you just buy all that stuff for? I thought you were working on minimalism."
Right. Yeah.
So they're not setting a goal for you. They're helping come alongside you in a goal that you've set for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's been a beautiful thing, to have people that know me enough to help point out when I'm derailing my own purposes.
Yeah.
I'm not sticking to what I said was important.
Yeah, I love that like definition and look at accountability, because being a Christian myself and just being immersed in church culture, especially like as a teenager, I feel like I experienced that like accountability, you know, and that's just what I've like, what that word kind of resonates in my head is kind of that, you know, legalistic term, but I love that idea, mm-hmm. you know, and as I've grown into an adult, I've obviously, you know, thought of accountability in different ways because I've been in the workplace and there's accountability in the workplace, but yeah, to mm-hmm. think about how friends can point you towards your specific goals, through accountability. That's so important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you can ask them for help. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I love that. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I just really love this conversation and a lot of things that honestly I'm dealing with. And I just know that a lot of listeners are dealing with as well because friendship is hard and it's especially mm-hmm. hard as moms. So before we go though, I love to ask two questions to every guest and, they're just kind of fun, but I'd love to know, one, what is something that you're simplifying?
I have been cleaning out my kitchen. And things that are on my chopping block, so to speak, are I am letting go of a lot of cookbooks and a lot of instructional books. I'm a seamstress, so I tend to buy books, cookbooks and sewing books that have one pattern or one recipe that I love. So I have been going through and taking pictures of that one recipe, that one pattern, and then blessing someone by giving that book away. It is lovely to not have a 100-page Martha Stewart baking handbook when there's just one banana cake in there that I like.
Yeah.
As an author, and I love books, so I tend to want to collect books, but they're literally getting dust. So I'm letting go of books that I'm not actually opening. They're not trophies. They can go.
That's so good. And I also would love to know, what is something that you're loving right now? So it can be just anything, you can't stop talking about anything like that.
Well, I'm reading a book that came out the same day as mine. One of my endorsers, actually, her name is Vivian Mabuni, and she works for Crew, which is a college ministry, and she wrote a book called Open Hands, Willing Heart, and I'm just almost finished with it, and it is just a wonderful book about embracing your purpose in life, but she brings in some things that are really different, like I'm reading an article, or one of the chapters today I was just reading was about understanding racism and social justice in the church and how to recognize how we can open our hands more to diverse community. So I'm kind of obsessed with that book right now. She talks about what to do when your plan gets derailed and God says no. So that's a book I'm loving. Open hands, willing heart.
Yeah, that sounds really good. I feel like I was really blessed in college to experience a really diverse Christian community that I feel it's so, I would love to see more of that. So that's being talked about in that book. I'll have to check it out.
It was really interesting. I'm a Caucasian woman and Vivian is a Chinese American woman. And she said that 91% of Caucasians don't have a non-Caucasian friend. Mm. And that just, I was like, wow, that's wild. I live in a really ethnically diverse area. And I'm like, is that true? And why is that? And that, it was just a fascinating thought to me. So I'm meditating on those things.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really something to think about for sure. So thank you for sharing that. Okay. Well, thank you for chatting. I really love this conversation. It's definitely one that's going to be sticking with me and I love your tangible next steps. And I think that I'm going to try them out myself. So, So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Go out and be the introverted version of yourself.
Exactly. So I personally felt really empowered by my conversation with Amanda. Just a new confidence in the fact that making friends doesn't have to be as complicated as it feels in my head sometimes. So I hope you feel the same way. If making friends feels hard, I hope that this conversation kind of empowers you to just, for lack of better words, put yourself out there more and find friends, find people to do this life with. And like Amanda said, I just want to emphasize, it doesn't have to be about the tribe. It doesn't have to be about finding one person, one best friend that's going to fulfill all of our needs. It's like this cultural picture of that deep, close, perfect friendship where you fulfill all of each other's needs, and that's not what it has to look like. So I feel like that is, yes, that is really hard to find and probably impossible for many of us. So it doesn't have to be about that. It's just about moving towards more authentic friendships and opening up our lives and our schedules to actually foster the ability for that to even happen. So I hope again that this encourages you to do that. That is all for today's episode. Thank you so much for being here with me today and each week that you join me. I am beyond grateful for you, beyond grateful for this community that surrounds this podcast. And I hope you'll join me back here next week. I hope that you have a fantastic week, and I cannot wait to talk to you back here next week, friend.